Good morning. My name is John Hatchell. I'm the CEO and co-founder of Tie-Dye Health, joined by my CTO, Bart Kant. And we are happy to be here this morning with all of you. Interesting to be following so many, such intelligent people doing so much great work. And so I think we'll probably provide a little bit of levity to the conversation today. And we're going to try to run a little bit of a hurry-up offense here to try to keep everybody on time. So our company, Tie-Dye Health, just to give everybody a little bit of insight into what we do, we use smart contracts and a platform to essentially modernize business-to-business transactions between healthcare facilities and medical device suppliers. And so today's talk that we're going to run through with you all is essentially a little bit of a strategy session from things that we've learned in our dealings with numerous organizations over the last couple of years. And it's a little bit of a provocative title. Why healthcare needs Web 2.5 before we can get to Web 3.0. So I think everyone here knows or has a good understanding of all the applicability and use cases that are there for blockchain in healthcare, and the opportunities for improvement really are endless, right? And so a lot of folks already talked about it. Patient records, supply chain, guilty, payments, research, the list goes on. And it's really exciting to envision what the world can look like, of healthcare can look like, and if we can really usher in this era of Web3. You know, we think about things such as being able to, reduce the cost of care, shrink what we're spending in healthcare today, being able to easily share data between organizations and outside organizations, not allowing, demographics to impede upon people's access to care or the quality of care that they're getting. Being able to improve the efficiency of healthcare, right? I mean, there's probably so many folks here who that's so palpable. Being able to reduce the billions and billions of dollars of waste that we currently are dealing with in healthcare today. Patients owning their data, right? Having control of all this immense amount of health data that's out there that people have access to, and nobody knows really, whose eyes are on it. And being able to speed up research and speed up trials, and then the ultimate goal of, being able to operate in a very transparent environment, something that healthcare is hardly classified as today. And who knows, maybe we'll even get the opportunity to enter the metaverse within the next 5 to 10 years as well. But what's holding us back? It can't be healthcare's love for fax machines, right? So there's a lot of things that we can probably point at, and so we try to look at why are obviously there's a lot of folks in healthcare that from an executive level that tend to be very apathetic in terms of how they look and evaluate these type of solutions, and so first and foremost. Just the lack of technical expertise and understanding in a lot of facilities is a true challenge. If anybody's interacted with any of the IT teams in a hospital, you may have better luck dealing with the geek squad at Best Buy than some of the folks. And that's not to be derogatory in any sense. It's just, you go to small community hospitals, they just don't have the best of the best sometimes from a talent standpoint. The players, right, the folks that, the oligopolies that exist in healthcare today, they're actively trying not to share data. Right, this is a challenge. Healthcare itself is kind of already distributed, right? So we're in an interesting situation, right? Where it's already segmented in a way that these type of themes don't always translate. Key management, right? When we're talking about using DLT, the management of private and public keys becomes a really big burden for a lot of facilities, and so that's an area you've got to start to think about. Access to capital, right? If you're going into a facility. Especially, we're not talking the large health systems and IDNs of the world. If you're talking about somewhere in the backwoods of Mississippi, right, and you're telling them, hey, we need you to operate a node, right, to participate in this network, right, they may not have the ability to pay for that type of infrastructure improvement, right? And so these are challenges. And so how do we overcome that? And then the regulatory concerns. There's tons. The amount of money we've spent on lawyers alone. And I can only imagine everybody else's experience with that, my best friends. And intimidating, right? I think anytime you mention the word blockchain, right, you kind of get the eye rolls and the, you know, head down in the desk sometimes, because it is intimidating, right? This is a very intimidating technology to a lot of people because they just don't understand it, right? Okay. Come on. Technical difficulties. Here we go. All right, so how do we get everybody who's in healthcare, living on island, Web 2.0, over to the lush tropical paradise of Web 3.0? Tough question. Well, we think we need a little bit of a pit stop. And so our suggestion is to head to the island of Misfit Toys, or the island of Web 2.5, where you're gonna get what you want, but it might not look exactly how you envision, right? And so to talk to you a little bit about that and how we can strategize to do that, Bart's gonna take the stage and talk to you about how you can get your very own cowboy on an ostrich or a Charlie in the box and tell you how to get there.
Yeah. This is, which button do
I? Just the green button.
Great button. All right, so who of you has a SushiSwap or a Curve account? Two people, all right. How many of you, three people, how many of you have a Coinbase account or Kraken account, right? A whole lot more, right? So what is Web 2.0? Well, I'll tell you in the context of Coinbase, right? So Coinbase is a Web 2.0 company. Yeah, it's a traditional tech company with the infrastructure and processes like a bank, and lives on the internet. So it's really Web 2.0. But their vision is to bring assets and tokens and crypto coins, which really live in the Web 3.0 world, to everybody else. And so why are there a lot more people using Coinbase than SushiSwap? Because it's a much easier experience from onboarding perspective. It's an easier experience from getting customer support, and you don't have to get into the weeds of DAOs and all of the complexities that exist with the decentralized exchanges. Other examples are OpenSea, right? So everybody that has an NFT probably has interacted with OpenSea as a Web 2.0 company, but very few or a lot less people have dealt with LuxRare, which is the Web 3 version. So what we're seeing kind of as an adoption layer is really that in between. And that was kind of a strategic choice when we were building Tie-Dye Health. What technology can we bring to the table? What kind of smart contract layer can we bring to the table from right now and get us really into production? Because we're a startup. Yeah, the capital is not infinite. We need to bring solutions live into the healthcare space, into a hospital, and make it work and make the economics work. So by going to Web 2.5, and I would say, you know, Tie-Dye Health might be a Web 2.75 company because we're using a smart contract language, which is called DAML, a digital asset modeling language from the company Digital Asset. It's very well used, and it's been used for a couple of years now in the financial services sector. It's been used by some of the largest exchanges in the world, Hong Kong Stock Exchange, Deutsche Börse, Goldman Sachs, using it for their tokenization platform. So we looked for a technology, a smart contract programming language that can get us, you know, into production with not as many barriers of the Web 3.0. So what are we giving up? We're giving up decentralization, right? So decentralization has been the vision of many Web3 companies. It's talked about, heard it a few times, but when we're talking to build a solution in a rural hospital that connects with medical device companies, nobody on both of those parties really is looking for decentralization. So we're giving that up. We're also giving up the permissionless platforms. Yeah. We love Bitcoin, we love Ethereum, we love a lot of layer twos, but you know, gas fees is a problem. And even for the ones that say it's not a problem, wait till there's a big application coming onto that network, and it will become a problem. So that's kind of what we're giving up. Self-sovereign identity, you know, big vision, A lot of progress is being made on the technical architecture layer, but we just want to log in to get into our application. And we want to kind of, if somebody forgets their password, you know, be able to reset that password and getting into the solution. Fully autonomous organizations, DAOs, great concept, but try to get a hospital administrator to say, now you get a vote on a proposal and get and join Discord to get that discussed with others in the community. And cross-platform interoperability, right? So we want to focus on building a solution that works for our use case. And so while we want to be interoperable and use a lot of standards, it's likely something that we don't need to focus on here at the beginning. So what are we getting? The other side of decentralization is centralization. So we're using a smart contract language that's built on a database right now. Now, the beauty of our smart contract layer is that we can put it from a centralized layer, infrastructure layer, to a decentralized layer in the future. So we don't have to change anything on our business logic, on our code that's been written. We just point it right now to a simple database that lives in the cloud technology and can put it into the decentralized layers infrastructure in the future. It is permissioned, so we kind of use the traditional, what's your login ID and password, and everybody's known on the platform. It uses smart contracts, so what does that mean specifically for Tie-Dye Health? Is that it's tries to bring that automation. When we show a finance person in our hospital saying, we can match the PO to the invoice to the payment, their eyes go wide open. But that's what our smart contract logic can do, and that's the innovation we bring into the table. Immutable records, great theory. We probably are partially there, but not fully. We're in a append-only solution, but there's ways to go back and say, is the data into the record complete? What do we need to do to enhance the data if some mistakes we're making? And then we're using the power of the platform around enhanced rights and obligations. So the hospital is the signer or the author of a certain surgical record where some products are being added from the medical device world. And then the medical device companies, they are an observer. They can read the data. They can get access to the data. And they're the only one. So it's an enhanced rights and obligations platform. So if we build it, they will come. So what do we need to do to really get live into a hospital setting, in the case of Tie-Dye? We need to build good UIs, right? So when I go to the doctor and I see they bring up their Cerner or Epic screen, I just cringe, right? And we had to kind of build a UI in two steps. We build it the way we thought it was going to be useful, and then when the nurses were in the operating room and interacting with our solution, then we kind of got the feedback, right? So who are the actors of your system? And a nurse interacts very differently with our system than, for instance, a finance person. We want to bring value to the organization, right? So we're building software to make things easier, improving the payment process, improving the automated creation of purchase orders when medical device is being used. We want to use open standards like FHIR, but the challenge is, we interact with X versions back of in EHR record, and it doesn't contain FHIR, so we're going to have to build a layer of in between. We need to integrate with those EHR systems, and they're coming to the table now of opening up their systems and opening up sandboxes, so we're get the data that we need and we can give them valuable information back. We want to improve the existing processes. We're getting all the in our process. If we just stop at the purchase order and invoice of a medical device, we're missing one of the major components. That's the settlement, the payment aspect. So how do we get to those hospitals switching over from writing checks to doing electronic payments? And as a startup, we wouldn't survive if we don't bring return on investments for our clients and for our shareholders. All right, that's how we're going to be able to race to the our next seed round and able to kind of grow in as a startup company. So where do we want to go in the future, or what are we thinking about and to make it successful? Right, one of the things is around building a community. You know, these events are just great to interact with others in the industry. If you haven't heard about, you know, some of the podcasts from Ray and others here in the room, or if you can participate in the SIG at the Linux Foundation, SIG Health, you know, be part of the community and share with others is a great way of moving things forward. And also, you know, talk to your clients, your prospects, and educate them. Most of them don't know what DLT is. They say, I heard about Ethereum. You know, how does it apply to what you guys are doing? So you have to constantly teach what are some of the main concepts. Observe and learn. So there's a lot of things that I take back from the financial services sector, where I did a lot of my consulting, and now bring that into healthcare, right? So how do I improve payments and the connection to payments? And as a startup, you know, you're going through iterative designs, iterative builds. It's not your first, you know, version of a software is going to be a hit. It's going to kind of constantly take feedback from your customers on how to make it better, how to improve the user interface for the next generation. And to close off, you know, as a former IBMer, one of the key phrases of using blockchain technology, it's a team sport, right? So it's a collaboration between us, healthcare startups, larger established firms, our clients, our investors, and we all need to kind of, you know, move the industry forward around this type of innovation. Thank you.